What's up, Rita?
What's going on, Glenn?
Well, I know the Ravens are 2-0, and so all's well in the world, right?
Yes,
like, no
yes,
problems
yes.
whatsoever. It is Press Box's Project Game Day post-game show. It is brought to you by the U.S. Army and by Par Excel. I'm Glenn Clark. She's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. And the Ravens, it was not the prettiest second half in the world. It was not quite as unwatchable as last week, but the second half wasn't fun necessarily. But ultimately, who cares? Because the Ravens are 2-0, and it was an emphatic performance again, winning 24-10 behind five turnovers for a second consecutive week forced by this Ravens defense. Rita, I don't know a lot, right? Like, I went to Perry Hall High School, so I didn't get the fanciest education there was available to me.
Where are we going with this, Glenn?
That's good, five turnovers, right? Like, you want that. That's a good number.
10 and 8 quarters.
Yeah, that's you're going for something like that.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like that, okay, I just wanted to make sure.
10 and 8 quarters is pretty. I'm pretty sure that the Ravens are head and shoulders ahead of most, if not all, NFL defenses.
Presumably,
at this
yes.
point.
Presumably.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's all's good, man. I don't know what else to say here, and we're going to talk about it, and I want to get your thoughts. You can chime in the comments there in the video. Chime in with us on Twitter, at Glenn Clark Radio, at the NFL Chick. Get your thoughts in. We got a lot to do. I need your votes for Man of the Match. We will get to that before we get out of here. Again, it's all brought to you by Par Excel and by the U.S. Army. The story starts with the defense, clearly. That's where it starts. Today, the offense showed far more than it did in Week 1. But it all starts with the defense and the fact that every time they were tested, every time you started getting that feeling of maybe the Browns are going to figure out a way to get back into this game, someone was there to make a play. And the one thing that I kept saying going into the season, Rita, is that this season was going to be defined by whether or not statistically they had a good defense, because statistically they had a good defense a year ago. It was going to be defined by whether or not they had playmakers. Well, it's not necessarily one. I think Terrell Suggs has been the best through
yes.
2 weeks. But it's been everyone coming up and making plays. The balls that Eric Weddle was close to a year ago, fascinating. Apparently, Dennis Pitta was on the radio today talking about how guys are beating up Eric Weddle about that a year ago.
Really?
And telling him he should wear gloves. Well, Eric Weddle's wearing gloves now. And Eric Weddle comes up with a difficult interception
yes.
in the first half instead of having that ball go through his hands. That's such a huge difference from one year to the next of actually getting these turnovers. We'll get to the competition here in a second. We'll have more to say. But in the meantime, like, that's clearly the storyline through 2 weeks. If you keep getting this amount of turnovers, you're going to win more football games.
I agree. In 2 weeks, you've seen that both the Bengals and the Browns have had an opportunity. They've moved the ball on the Ravens pretty
well. At times,
well.
Right.
At times, right? They've moved the ball pretty decently at times against the Ravens defense. But when the Ravens needed it the most, they've come up with these turnovers near the red zone. Or sacks in Ravens territory. So, yeah, this is, again, 10 turnovers in 2 games is
insane.
It's absolutely insane, and it speaks volumes to what this defense is doing. A year ago, passes that C.J. Mosley, like the one that he made last week, and I'm not trying to go back to last week, I'm just bringing him up as an example,
right.
that he went up, and he's going up now and getting those interceptions. These
right.
players are going out and getting these passes, and I want to shout out Brandon Carr, because he got picked on a lot today. I think the Browns' game plan was, we're going to kind of stay away from Jimmy Smith. Yeah,
let's stay with that for a second
okay.
straight week, because that to me is this huge storyline too.
Absolutely.
Which is, nobody wants to talk about it because he's not really doing anything.
Right.
The mere presence of Jimmy Smith on a football field changes everything
Absolutely.
For this franchise. And I don't know that Pro Football Focus, I don't know that there's a number that can define that, because nobody's throwing at him. But the mere presence of Jimmy Smith on a football field changes everything for the Baltimore Ravens defensively and allows them to be able to do other things.
I agree.
We're knocking on every piece of wood we can find, because unfortunately what we know about Jimmy Smith is, let's not start assuming that he's going to be out there for 16
Absolutely.
Games 2 weeks into the season. But when he is, it's just so clear how much it changes everything for the teams that are going up against this Ravens defense.
Exactly. So it appeared that the game plan was, we're going to try to stay away from Jimmy Smith as much as we possibly can. We're going to attack Brandon Carr. And they attacked him for the most part this whole game. But Brandon Carr obviously came out and he played, to me, he played a very good game. Again, the Browns moved the ball. So that wasn't the issue for the Browns. They just couldn't capitalize off of any of them. And you have to credit the Ravens' defense for that. There were times that I did feel like the defensive coordinator, Dean Pease, did some things where he was rushing three. And I was like, okay, this is not the time to rush three and drop everybody back. You kind of want to put the pressure on them. I think it was a couple of third downs. I was a little suspect on, and they converted those third downs and they moved the chains. But then they tightened it up as they got closer to the red zone. Mm-hmm. So I want to give a shout out to Brandon Carr because, again, we talked about this off air. We don't know how long Brandon Carr is going to be healthy for the Ravens.
In fairness to Brandon Carr, he's always played, right? My point when we were talking this before we came on the air. You brought up Marlon Humphrey and the fact that he's not really playing a ton. He's not, despite the fact that he was a first round pick. And I said, look, you know, that. I'm okay with that because somebody's getting hurt. And I say Brandon Carr, but the funny part about Brandon Carr is he's never hurt.
Right. Like
Jimmy Smith.
Right. The point
is
like
hurt.
You kind of want to roll with the iron while it's hot. My point is what it was. Not that he gets hurt, it's that you just want to roll with who you have while he's hot. And so Brandon Carr is probably helping Marlon Humphrey kind of break in and with ease a little bit. He's not responsible for just being the number two corner right off the bat, although he is a number one draft pick. But they have guys like Webb and like Carr that can help him ease into the position.
No question.
So the fact that they went after him and he was able to have essentially a good game says a lot for this Ravens team. Now, obviously, as the weeks go on, they play some better competition because it's – we can't deny the fact that the Browns are still the Browns.
It is part of the story.
They dropped a lot of easy passes that helped the Ravens in their favor. That being said, you don't want to take away the fact that when they were in the position where they needed to make a stop, they made those stops. So big ups to the Ravens defense.
We got this comment from David. David, and this is such a thoughtful point. He said, they won't be tested until week four against Pittsburgh.
Correct.
I'm trying not to get excited about dominance over two bad football teams. And I feel like that's the biggest storyline that exists right now through two games of the Baltimore Ravens. The first storyline is they haven't effed anything up. They've done everything they were supposed to do through 2 weeks. I don't think we knew how bad the Bengals were now having seen them for two games. I think we're pretty confident.
They're not good, yeah.
That's a bad football team. They've already fired their offensive coordinator at this point. That's a bad football team right now, the Cincinnati Bengals. That being said, okay, you've still done your job. I keep saying this. This is not easy to do. It's not easy to go through 2 weeks in the NFL allowing only 10 points. It's not easy to go through 2 weeks in the NFL and forcing 10 turnovers. Those are really difficult things to do against anyone. The Browns, the Bengals, anybody. It's hard to do those things. They've done them. That's the first storyline. The second storyline then becomes what you're alluding to, which is, and what David's alluding to, which is, I don't know how much we can take from this yet. I don't know yet if this is really a story of this is a historically dominant, great defense. They allotted their funds clearly to the defensive side of the ball, and it's paying off. I don't know if it's that or if it's they've looked amazing because they played two really bad teams. And I don't think we're going to have that answer, as everybody points out. Look, you know, a week ago it looked like Jacksonville, maybe things were a bit different when it came to the Jaguars. They got trounced by Tennessee today. They got absolutely demolished, which doesn't mean that next week they couldn't look better against the Ravens. They could very well look better against the Ravens next week. But as I keep bringing up, the quarter pole to me is the story because that's that fourth game and that's that first game with the Steelers. And I think that will be the first opportunity you really get to see if this great defense is truly that great or if it's more a story of what they've been able to do against bad teams.
I agree.
I think they're a good defense no matter what. I think this is 100% a good to very good defense. I think the line is, are we talking about a statistically dominant, historically great, going to force an absurd number of turnovers like nobody's ever seen before type of defense? Or is it a good defense that's going to keep them in games and give them opportunities? And I'm not sure yet.
And I think that we need to kind of revisit some things because remember last year the Ravens started the season 3-0 and they played against the Bills, the Browns, and the Jaguars. Yep. Two of the three teams that I just mentioned are the same two of the three teams that they're playing in the first three games of this season.
Yep.
So now they play Jaguars again next week in London, who is – Blake Bortles apparently went back to his normal self and had a crappy game.
Stunner.
Shocking. Allen Robinson is now not there. He tore his ACL last week. So although the Jaguars' defense is much, much better, you would like to assume the Ravens' defense can handle the Jaguars' offense pretty well. So it's a very good possibility that they're 3-0, the same start that they had last year.
It's possible.
The defense of the Ravens was what, top five all the way up until week 10 of last year. So I don't want people to get too comfortable. This could potentially be deja vu all over again. We did this already. We started 3-0. We had a good defense.
Through two games, I'll give you I already think they're a better defense because I think they're better at getting the football.
Correct.
Right?
Like, that's obvious.
Right. That being said, it's the same questions. Can Terrell Suggs? Terrell Suggs, who's been brilliant through two games, can that hold up for 16?
No.
I don't know.
No.
And if it doesn't, like Tim Williams made a play at the end of the game. That's nice. Would Tim Williams have even been on the field today if Za'Darius Smith wasn't out?
I'm going to assume possibly not.
Right. I don't think so. Based on the way that it was constructed, it looks like Tim Williams probably would have been left off. And I think somebody told me that Jerry Rosberg was chirping about him this week and the fact that he wasn't out there for special teams practice because he had a headache or something like that. By the way, if you're knocking dudes that have headaches, this is football. Let's ease up a little bit. Guys get headaches. They're not like when you and I get headaches.
Yeah. And with the CTE thing, you kind of need to be quiet just a little bit.
We'll talk about the Browns' decision with Deshaun Kizer here in a second, too. I keep coming back to this is where we are. I'm fine with being excited. If you want to enjoy the fact that the Ravens are 2-0, if you want to high-five people this
week,
wear your purple.
While you can.
It feels way better to be 2-0 than it does to be 0-2 or to be in a place like where they are in Cincinnati. Cincinnati football is just something they don't want to think about.
It's a mess.
Right now. So it feels way better to be in your spot that you're in. But I think what you and I are both saying, and I think we're on the same page with this, I'm not necessarily telling you it's going to fall apart. I'm telling you I think it's possible. It's possible the Ravens could be a great defense and a defense that could carry throughout the course of 16 games.
I agree.
I just don't know that yet.
Yes.
The evidence that we have so far does not say to me with certainty that's who they are versus just saying that's who they've been through two games.
And there's – I mean to cut you off, but there's guys that – they have an active that they've drafted high, so they've had high hopes for. Kaufusi is still inactive. He has not played. You have Wormley and other guys that they...
Willie Henry,
that they felt high of, but...
By the way, Jalen Hill, who looked like a rock star all preseason and hasn't had
He's been injured, correct.
Yeah, he's been hurt. So, he hasn't had a chance to get on the field yet.
So guys that they thought highly of still haven't had an opportunity to play, whether it be injury or they just haven't had a chance to kind of get that guy on the field. So I agree with you. No, I don't think that Suggs could go 16 games. I personally said that he can go 8 because I think that his age, you have to take account for his age.
Well, people have brought up
he's going to be 35 next month.
And that his conditioning as the season goes on tends to wear down a little bit. The guy that you see that looks like a monster in the preseason doesn't look exactly like the same guy come Thanksgiving.
Yep.
We'll see. Again, we'll see. Maybe Terrell Suggs can really be this guy for 16 games. If he can, then we'll revisit this as the season goes on. For now, my point is not, I'm not telling you this is fool's gold. I'm telling you I don't know yet.
And that's fair. I think that that's fair.
Well, I think it's the only thing I can say. I think it would be irresponsible for me to suddenly sit back here and say, this is the greatest defense in the history of time.
People have said that before in preseason, though.
Right. But I'm telling you, I felt like if I had seen, again, one of these young pass rushers look totally special in the first 2 weeks, I still think I'd be more excited about it. I still think I'd be more inclined to say we could be watching something truly... I still have some of the same questions. The question that's changed so far is they have the ability to go get the football. Hell yeah, they have the ability to go get the football. That's very much proven. I need 30 seconds to tell you all about ParXL. While I do that, I need you to go to my Twitter page, at Glenn Clark Radio, and get your votes in for Man of the Match.
Yes.
We're going to name a Man of the Match. We've got 4 candidates. Oddly, 3 of them on the offensive side of the ball, considering it's been the defense that's been so great. Buck Allen is a candidate. Joe Flacco is a candidate. Terrell Suggs is a candidate. And Ben Watson is a candidate for Man of the Match. If you'd like to get your own thought in, you may. I have not actually heard from anybody with another candidate so far. So far, everybody's voted for one of those 4 guys. But one of those 4 guys, tell me who it is that you believe is Man of the Match. When we come back in, we're going to talk about the Ravens' offense. We're going to talk about a little bit of some of the questionable decisions from the Browns. And hopefully, we're going to start getting some injury updates because obviously, there's some big concerns looming with Marshall Yanda and Brandon Williams. John Harbaugh is not going to the podium yet, but hopefully we will get some more information. I am nervous.
I'm more so nervous about Yanda, obviously, than I am about Brandon Williams. The Ravens have a ton of defensive linemen, and I'm not saying he's replaceable.
Right.
Let me be clear. I'm just saying that I feel more comfortable with the fact that they have guys that are capable of making replacements. The Ravens do not have that on the offense.
They do not have that at all. All right, 30 seconds. We'll tell you about ParXL, then we'll come back and talk more, get some more of your comments. It's Press Box's Project Game Day postgame show.
ParXL Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, Rita, so a couple of the comments that have come in from Greg. Greg says, I'm enjoying these relaxing fourth quarters. Well, hell, I mean, I think we all can get behind that. Nobody wants to sit back and be biting your nails in the fourth quarter. Nobody wants to be driven crazy by anything that's going on in the fourth quarter. Again, I don't know yet. Like, if to beat the Steelers, you got to bite every nail. You got to... My son actually had it. This is the true story. It's gross. My son had his toenail ripped off.
Oh, God. Oh, thanks,
toenail
Glenn.
Toenail ripped off.
Thanks,
this week.
Glenn.
Ripped off. It was one of the grossest. And when I look at his toe, I'm like, this creeps me out.
This
I would
is
gladly
nasty.
Have that happen to me if it meant the Ravens beat the Steelers in 2 weeks.
Okay.
I would give up a toenail.
Okay.
In order to have the Ravens beat the Steelers in 2 weeks.
I just want the Ravens to beat the Steelers without me having to lose a limb,
would
a toenail.
Would you be willing to do it? It's just a
no,
toenail.
No, I'm not.
Rita.
No, that sounds painful.
I think we can all agree that Rita's a bad person, can't we? All it's going to cost is a toenail. And you get a guaranteed Ravens win over the Steelers?
I don't.
And you're so selfish, you won't even do
yes,
that?
Yes, I want my toenail, okay?
You go to the city, you won't do that?
I want my toenail. So I'll give up something else. I'll give up.
Well,
I'll drink my beer out of a bottle as opposed to getting rid of my toenail. Does that make sense? That help?
I'm gonna put this up as a poll. I'm going to put this up as a poll right now. At Glenn Clark Radio.
I will drink my beer out of a bottle without the straw, opposed to getting rid of my toenail. I need my toenails. I'm a girl, okay? So I can't walk around with no toenails.
Oh, come on. It's summer's over. No,
not yet. It is 81 degrees
in
outside,
2 weeks,
Glenn.
In 2 weeks,
and next
Ravens
week it's
going to
be in the 80s.
In 2 weeks, and the Ravens play the Steelers.
And it'll be in the
70s. It's officially going to be fall.
I can still have my toes out.
Stop. You're not willing to make this one sacrifice
no,
for the better
that,
of the community.
Not that one. I'm willing to make a sacrifice. That ain't my sacrifice. That's your sacrifice, not mine.
You're a bad person.
I'm completely okay with that as long as I can keep my toenails.
I want you to go at Glenn Clark Radio and vote on this. Rita says she would not give up a toenail for a guaranteed Ravens win.
And can y'all see
Pittsburgh.
My face? I don't give a damn what y'all think, okay? I want my toenails.
Steve Bolander gets in, not about toenails. By the way, he does get in about toenails.
Oh, wait a minute.
Steve. He just got in to say he would give up. Thank you, Steve
okay,
Bolander.
Well, see,
you
of course,
what?
All the men
Steve
will
Bolander
give him up.
Hang on, not about I don't know what just happened. By the way, all of a sudden I hear myself in the background.
Right.
Steve's a
Steve
good man.
Is going to give up. See, all the men are going to give up their toenails because y'all don't wear y'all feet out like that anyway. Okay? You can put socks on with your sneakers and be fine with it.
I'm
am not doing
too.
That.
I don't give an F. I'll put socks on with my sandals.
See?
Y'all can go
see?
After yourselves. It's comfortable as hell, and I don't care how you feel about
okay,
it.
Okay, see, okay, y'all. Now, wait a minute. Yeah. This should be the poll. Should Glenn not wear sandals ever again
well,
since he wears them with socks?
No, I don't wear them regularly with socks. I typically don't. It's that I'm willing to because I don't give an F what you feel about
are
it.
Are we going
to
talk about this
all
offense?
Right. All right. This was the point that Steve had to make.
Okay.
Joe and the wide receivers are still not on the same page. I understand Joe didn't play the preseason, but he looked better this week.
He did.
I agree with that.
Yes.
Example, Perriman going 10 and out instead of going vertical. This kind of stuff is going to hurt us when we play the Steelers or even if we get to the playoffs.
Okay, and although that is true, Perriman also didn't make a case for himself today. He dropped two
Well, the one
passes.
Was particularly egregious early on in the game.
Okay, fine. But there was another one in there that he dropped. Anytime a ball touches your hands, I feel like you need to catch it. But the one that we're talking about that you said was like a volleyball play in the first quarter, which was his first incompletion, because at that point I think he was like 7 for 8 for some odd yards.
Right.
You can't drop that young man.
Correct.
Yeah, yes, they're rusty. They're all rusty. He's right. They haven't had a preseason. The NFL now is becoming, the first 2 to 3 games are becoming preseason games for the starters because they're not playing because head coaches are afraid that these guys are going to get hurt
right.
in preseason.
Right.
So I think people need to relax a little bit. The Ravens aren't the only team that look rusty. A lot of these other teams are looking rusty out here. And so they're not exempt from that. Obviously, Joe has had a lot less time because he didn't have any play with these guys. So they do have a lot of kinks to work out. That being said, I do appreciate the fact that since Woodhead went out, they did allow Watson to step up, and Watson had a really good game. I think he at least had
Watson
seven
was a
catches.
Monster today.
He had a great game plan.
Ben Watson finished 8 catches for 91 yards and is a nominee for Man of the Match.
Yes, he is. And so it was good to see that rhythm, because obviously none of us knew what Watson, the dynamic of what Watson could bring to this offense, because he didn't play at all last year. And so it was good to see them find somebody else that could be the security blanket for Joe. That being said, Jeremy Maclin is holding up his end of the bargain as well. He had some good catches.
Yep.
Wallace and Perriman are the only ones the one interception that Joe did have was a little, to me, it looked like it was a Wallace error.
A lot of people think that Joe read the wrong route.
Potentially.
Like he was wrong, and so he threw the ball thinking that Wallace was going to run. I don't know. There was a clear miscommunication there. I had no problem with that interception.
I don't either. It was more like a punt, but correct. I guess my thing is that if I'm Wallace, there's no way I want my DB to be ahead of me if I'm running
right,
straight.
Right.
So he finally was like, oh snap, the ball is coming my way. Oh, okay. Oh shoot, it's coming to this guy. And then at the last minute he tried to close in, but it was too late. So that was the only brain fart that I feel like happened in this game. Other than that, I do think that Joe had a great game. And I say great because he is coming from where he didn't get any time with these guys.
Correct.
So for me, that was a great game.
I thought
for
he
him.
Really played well.
He
I
did.
Thought he played well. I thought he looked good. I thought he looked confident.
Yes, he did.
I thought he looked particularly good when he got outside the pocket.
Yep.
I think he showed reminders of how athletic he's capable of being. And I think that was some of what we missed a year ago when he was tentative. He looked, I think, even better than he looked a season ago. Now, he didn't look good at all a season ago, so that's not
right, because he was still trying to come back from a knee injury.
Correct. But I thought he looked more confident
with
that. I thought that the back was a non-factor today. Again, I had no problem with the interception. I'm a thumbs up to Joe Flacco today.
Yep.
I thought this was, after a week ago where they didn't have him do anything, they actually tried to throw the ball downfield a little bit. He was far better. I got this note from Tim from Bel Air. Tim said he looked far better. This is a small thing, but he looked better in leading his backs out of the backfield.
I agree.
When he threw. This is one thing that we've complained about before, is that he just sort of seems to dump it off. Now you catch it and go run. It seemed more like the backs were able to get their feet going before they caught the ball and already have some momentum when they were coming out of the backfield. That's such a small thing, right? You don't think about that at all, but I do agree. I didn't think about it as the game was going on. When somebody brought it up, I said, absolutely.
Yep.
It looked like when he threw the ball underneath to Buck Allen, when he threw the ball underneath to Terrence West and even Alex Collins in the second half, we'll get to him, it seemed like he was giving them a better chance to get their feet going
yep.
and go get some yards after the catch.
I agree.
I thought this was a very good performance all around for Joe Flacco. The offensive line, it's hard to grade. They at times, they seemed to be giving him some time. Then is that you would see small things. Like, you couldn't keep him in the pocket. You needed to get him out of the pocket because that was going to collapse fairly quickly,
yep.
particularly after Marshall Yanda came off the field. The running backs, I thought Buck Allen, this is what I expected to see as the season went on. I told you before the season began, Buck Allen will be this team's starting running back before the season's over.
He's making a case.
He's the guy. He's the one that's capable of doing something special for this team. Now, Terrence West is capable of being a workhorse. He can get a ton of carries. He can have some good things happen. He can take on some contact. But the only guy in this group that has any ability to really do something special is Buck Allen. And Buck Allen showed that again today. He's a special type of... I want to be careful when I say these types of things. I'm not suggesting that Buck Allen is Chris Johnson. I'm not suggesting that Buck Allen is Ray Rice. I'm saying he's the one guy that it seems like if he gets a little bit of space, he can turn 2 yards into 6 fairly quickly. And I think that you're seeing more and more from that from Buck Allen. I think it'll continue to go that route as the season goes on.
And you're seeing, I like the mixed backfield situation because although I want Terrence West to do well, obviously he's a local guy. I want.
By the way, we have breaking news, and it is very bad.
Whoa. What?
Marshall Yanda is out for the season.
Ugh. What? With broken ankle?
Fractured his leg.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Yep. I just got it.
You could see immediately when he went. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's big news. No problem.
You could see when he went down, he was screaming as he was on the field. And I've said this before about Marshall Yanda. Marshall Yanda is insane.
Yes.
He's a maniac.
He's graded super high by PFF.
He's one of the best interior linemen
in the game.
Right.
That's a huge loss.
As far as tolerance is concerned,
yes.
This is a dude that got tased for fun.
Oh, yeah.
He's nuts.
Yeah.
And so when you saw him screaming on the ground,
I mean, he was in pain.
This dude doesn't scream unless there's something very bad. And I said that right then. I had this terrible feeling in the moment of what that meant. And unfortunately, That has come to fruition. Marshall Yanda is out for the year. Also, by the way, linebacker Bam Bradley is out for the year. He tore his ACL, made the roster as a special teams guy. The Yanda news is devastating.
Yes.
It changes everything that we've been thinking about, and we'll talk more about it in a second. Real quick, the other updates from John Harbaugh. Brandon Williams, apparently okay.
Okay, good.
That's very good news.
Considering.
Right.
We've had already had bad news.
Terrence West did not. There was no injury involved in Terrence West not playing later in the game. They had John Harbaugh.
Well, you got to roll with the hot hand.
They brought in Alex Collins, and
for the most part, Alex Collins played well until the fumble. But he got rolling.
But this is the way it works with John Harbaugh. You fumble the ball once, we might not see you again.
Doghouse. We get it. I'm fine with that. But I get why you didn't see Terrence West, because at one point in the game, it appeared that Buck Allen was getting a little bit more ground. For lack of a better term, with running the ball, and then you bring in Alex Collins to kind of, you know, mix up a little bit, and he got some very good yardage prior to that fumble. So I get it. Like, I want Terrence West to do well, is what I was saying before the breaking news. I want him to do well for obvious reasons.
Yes.
He's a local guy. I want him to do well, but I do find that at times he struggles, and I think that Buck Allen is a good he's a good guy that can help him mix up the crowd.
I think they do different things.
Absolutely.
I think Terrence West is able to be your workhorse back.
Yes.
He's the guy that you can count on to try to go get 3-4 yards
yes.
when he touches the ball every time. And Buck Allen is the guy that could really...
He's a little more shifty.
Yes.
Buck Allen's a little bit more shifty. Yes. So I agree with you that I do think at some point Buck Allen wins the role of starting running back.
I don't even know what that means anything. I think he's the primary back. I think he's the guy that's getting more touches.
It doesn't mean much.
Correct. It really doesn't mean anything. Reaction coming into the Marshall Yanda news, as you'd imagine, if you missed it, Marshall Yanda done for the season with a fractured leg. It is horrendous news.
Yeah, that's probably the worst one that you would like to lose.
As far as players, like if you rank the importance of players to the Baltimore Ravens, the top three I think are easy. It's Flacco, I think it's Jimmy Smith, and I think it's Ronnie Stanley is the third.
Yeah, your
left tackle.
Yeah,
but outside of those top three, you'd be hard pressed to tell me somebody was more. Like, if you wanted to make an argument for, hey, the way Terrell Suggs is playing, he's in the conversation. I don't think there's somebody I would say is more valuable after those top three than Marshall Yanda is. Those top three are the top three because those are really important positions on the field, and they're all very good. Ronnie Stanley's been very good at left tackle. Jimmy Smith is
outstanding.
Teams do not throw at Jimmy Smith
Correct.
When he's on the field. They're afraid to throw at him. And Joe Flacco is the quarterback of the football team. Nick has gotten in with a bunch. Nick says... At least our O-line played with fewer penalties. Our center was better. That's a, you know what?
Can we talk about penalties for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's fine, Nick. I agree with you. That being said,
I thought Ryan Jensen was better today. I thought he was better today.
That being said, let's be clear. This officiating, Gene Stetchatour and his crew, didn't call much of anything. There was a lot of penalties that was called.
That might be fair. You might.
That could have gone in the Ravens' favor, because I know for the Browns, there is a lot. I saw blocking the backs that didn't get caught. I saw a lot of blatant holding penalties. I believe there was a play that was it Watson, I believe, that got hit. It appeared it was really near outside of bounds. Any other time, I feel like any other crew would have called that as you know, 15 yards. That didn't get called. So I don't know how I feel about that, because we do complain about refs being involved a whole lot, but then we're so used to them being involved, so when they don't call stuff that we see blatant, we're like, that's blatant. Why didn't you call that? So I agree with him, but I don't know if that's so much as the fact that they were just letting those guys play and they weren't calling anything, or that they just were organically not committing too many penalties.
By the way, Nick does chime in on Marshall Yanda. This is a terrible loss. He makes all of the line calls, not only at guard, but our center play is so suspect with calls and snap cadence. He goes on to say, this injury is catastrophic. O-line needs to mature in a hurry now. John Harbaugh does point out that it will be Tony Bergstrom who will handle the role moving forward. And this is, you know, credit to John Harbaugh for being willing to say it. As he says, this is a quote, nobody can replace Marshall Yanda.
Irreplaceable.
That you can't echo that enough. Marshall Yanda is such a critical part of this football team. To lose him in week two is devastating to the Baltimore Ravens. Look, their defense has carried them so far. If their defense can continue to play, I'm going to keep going back to this. If the defense can force 5 turnovers a game, they can survive injuries to Marshall Yanda. I don't think that's something that they can. It's really hard to do that.
Oof.
I'm not ready to go there just yet. But my point is, if the defense can play exceptionally well, they can survive things on the other side. I cannot stress how how awful this news is.
Okay, this is my issue with this. Aside from the fact that we know that Marshall Yanda is irreplaceable, because he is, the Ravens already had issues with the offensive line prior to the season coming. So their depth was already paper thin.
Yep.
Now you're in a position where it's one of the guys that you really need.
Correct.
And then you already have an issue with depth at your offensive line. So this guy coming in has a lot of stress on his back, because not only are you coming in here, you have to replace someone that is graded so high. There's no one else graded higher than him at his position in the National Football League.
A guy that was – Marshall Yanda at this point in his career was starting to get to a place where – he could have ended up being debated in the room about being a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
And that really actually makes us even more sad, because he needed to stockpile a few more seasons of playing at that really dominant level in order to have that come to fruition. And this, like, I started to think about that after the news, and like that part of this really got to me, because Marshall Yanda has been so good that there's a legitimate argument that at some point he could be considered as a Hall of Famer.
Yes,
now, I'm not saying he is a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he would get in. I'm saying he was starting to build his way to consideration for that. And this hurts that, because he needed to stockpile a few more years of really high-level play. And
how many guys is this on the IR at this point? I mean, I mean, if you think about it, you already lost Alex Lewis, which was the left guard, and so the center as well. I mean, so the Ravens have had so many injury issues at this point, and that's the one.
Well, this is the
minus the quarterback
the
and the left tackle that you just don't want to lose, unfortunately. Particularly for an offense that's trying to get a rhythm going on, although they did a good job today with that.
I can't. Everything that's coming in right now, all the comments that we're getting there about just how
I know.
This is taking a turn. I mean, it's taken a. And for obvious reasons, it's taken a turn. This is how critical Marshall Yanda is to this football team. I want to make this very clear. I don't think this ends the season for the Baltimore Ravens.
No, it doesn't.
I think it just made life
a little bit more
vastly
hard.
Vastly more difficult.
Yeah.
If they can continue to develop offensively, if they can continue to do some things outside with, I don't know. I'm trying to put the right spin on this, that I want to make sure I'm saying I don't think the season is over. I just think this is really, really devastating for whatever it is they're trying to accomplish. Give me 30 more seconds. We'll come back in. We'll wrap things up. We will announce a man of the match, because voting has gone to one person, largely. Largely to one person. I don't know that I'm surprised by it. I don't know. We'll talk about it more in a second. And then we'll get some final thoughts of Rita and start looking ahead to Jacksonville next week. And
Early
morning game next week from London. We'll do that next as we roll on the Project Game Day post-game show, brought to you by the U.S. Army and Par Excel. Just need 30 seconds.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than a million soldiers is Army strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields that's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There's strong, and then there's Army strong, paid for by the United States Army.
Money for college. More than 150 career paths. Up to 40 $1,000 signing bonus. Visit goarmy.com/40kbonus.
All right. A bunch of people have brought up the bend but don't break thing, right? Like, that was the story today, is we're back to bend but don't break.
Yes.
I don't know why people say that like it's a positive thing.
It's not.
You
not
never
to me.
Want to be a bend but don't break team.
Nope.
Because at some point, bend but don't break teams get broken.
Broken.
That's the way that it works.
Yep.
Now, there are ways that you can overcome that. It's because your offense gets better. You're not relying on a defense to get the job done, and so you're able to win in other ways. You can improve. You don't have to be a bend-but-don't-break team. You can play a game that's a bend-but-don't-break game, and then you can improve as it goes along.
I agree.
But there's nothing good that comes with being bend-but-don't-break. That's not a trend that works. As
nothing that bends
never
doesn't
break,
eventually
right.
break.
Correct.
Okay, so let's stop.
Yeah,
that.
I hate that term. Whenever we hear it, Rita, it just drives me
crazy. I hate that cliche with a
passion. Why you say that like it's a good thing?
It's not a good
it's
thing.
It's not a good thing.
And I hate to hear people. I hate to hear analysts say it more than anything. They're bend but don't break defense. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, don't be that. Don't be that.
So they gave up 400 yards, but they won the game. So I'm supposed to be happy. Okay.
Man, like again, I'm always happy that they win games.
No,
you
I'm just bringing up
games.
The point that the bend but at some point those 400 yards are going to turn to losses.
Correct. It's always the way that it works. From Nick, the D must continue the trend of takeaways even more so than three and outs. I think that speaks to the bend but don't break thing. Like, you've got to give this offense short fields at times. You've got to set them up. The field position situation really helped. We haven't even brought up. I talked about it at halftime, obviously. I think there is a huge storyline in this game, which is John Harbaugh's balls at the end of the first half. 5 seconds to play. You have no timeouts. This is it. Plays take 5 seconds to run.
Oh yeah,
they take 5 seconds to run.
I was fine with that because, my theory was whatever they were going to play, whatever the call was, he was going to get the ball out of his hands quick. So it was going to take between 3 and 4 seconds, which would have left 1 second on the
clock. But he caught that ball, and they ended up putting 1 second back on the clock at the end. They put 1 second back on. But you're playing, what if he bobbles it just a little bit?
That's very true. That's very true.
With fire there.
That's
you have
true.
To assume this is, we're going to get a touchdown on this play. We can't assume that we're gonna, if it happens to work out that you don't get the score, there's 1 second left, you can kick the field goal.
Right.
God bless.
So right, that's his obviously his idea is touchdown or incompletion, and it's gonna leave me a little bit of time.
Assuming that you're gonna still have 1 second to me is disastrous.
But it worked in his favor this week.
I'm good by it. I actually don't have a problem with him making a ballsy decision. I'm not beating him up over it, and obviously it worked, so there's nothing to beat up. I'm okay with being aggressive with doing those types of things, particularly at home, particularly given the way that your defense was playing. Your defense was playing exceptionally well during the course of the day, so you feel as though even if you give them a little bit of a momentum boost by not getting the points there at the end of the half, well, hell, they should have had points on the drive before that. You just got a turnover in order to steal it the other way.
Correct.
I sort of get the argument that you're playing with house money at that point.
Absolutely.
To do something. I'm good by it. I thought it was huge. And also, I think it changed sort of the nature of the game. Instead of being up 14-7 or 17-7, now you're up 21-7. You're comfortably ahead as the second half goes on. The Browns never really feel like they're in the game at any point. I think that changes a lot of things, and so I was totally good with it.
And John Harbaugh is a guy that we know he takes chances. It just seems that in the past, his chances have not capitalized. So I'm glad that he did take a chance, and it worked out in his favor. Because if your scenario worked out where he bobbled the ball and then there's no time left, that definitely is problematic.
Oh, we're killing John Harbaugh.
It's problematic, and I believe it changes the dynamic of the Browns because the Browns were able to move the ball on the Ravens, and there probably wouldn't have been some game changes because, remember, Kevin Hogan came in and played for DeShone Kizer, and potentially, because Hogan moved the ball pretty well, he would have stayed in the game.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if Hugh Jackson is just so committed to DeShone Kizer. I think that
we can assume that
based
much.
Based on how things
yeah.
are. Yep, I hear you. All right, voting for a man of the match. 12% of the vote belongs to running back Buck Allen.
Fair.
6% of the vote belongs to quarterback Joe Flacco.
Oh, y'all giving Joe just 6%? He had a good game today.
You know how it is. Nobody is swimming. Nobody ever wants to admit that Joe Flacco played well. But it's
all
fine.
Right.
He wouldn't get my vote today either.
He wouldn't either. I'm just saying, didn't think it would be 6%. I thought that Joe might have had a little bit more percentage than Buck Allen. Y'all disappointing me today.
33% of the vote goes to Terrell Suggs. And with 49% of the vote, the winner today, our man of the match, is Ravens tight end Ben Watson.
That's why I find it unfair that Joe only got 6%.
Yeah, right.
Ben Watson got the ball from somebody, people. Or get
Ben
that man
Watson
6%.
Finishes. Well, look, I don't know how many times you're going to be targeted 8 times and have 8 catches for 91 yards.
Probably not many.
I don't know how many times it's going to happen to anybody at any point. I thought Ben Watson was great today.
Absolutely.
Completely fine with Ben Watson being that dude as man of the match because I thought he was exceptional today. And I think if he can continue to play that way, it really helps the Ravens offense so long as they can keep Joe Flacco on his feet with Marshall Yanda off the field.
Yep.
That will be something that we will have to see moving forward. Again, the first story is that the Ravens won. That's a good story. We like that story.
We
happy
love
with that.
2-0.
24-10, 5 more turnovers.
Yep.
Wonderful, wonderful. The bad news, Marshall
comes
Yanda
with a price.
Out for the year with a fractured leg. That is crucial. Just awful, awful news for the Baltimore Ravens. Thinking ahead to the Jaguars, we keep saying, I think maybe more of a test, perhaps, but I don't even know that. I also
really.
Don't know. I don't know if we know yet about the impacts of traveling overseas and what that can do. The Ravens have never done it. A few of the players have. I know Mike Wallace have. There's a few guys that have been on other teams that have gone to London before. I hate the way that NFL teams do it, where they, you know what they do? They travel overnight.
Right.
And they have the guys try to sleep on the plane. Which,
horrible.
I think we've all been there before.
Yeah.
You're not getting good sleep.
You're not getting good sleep.
Look, this is not like sleeping in an upright chair. Like when you and I fly, they're obviously flying where there's beds they
right.
can sleep on. But I've been in those beds before. I've traveled this way to London once. Those beds are not meant for men the size
of football players.
That's what I know. Like, I got a buddy who plays defensive line. He's over 300 pounds. He had to do this once
when he was
playing with the Dolphins. And, like, yeah, not pleasant. Mm-hmm. And then you get off the flight, and they want you to go practice. They want you to go do things on Friday. They want you to get your sleep in on the flight. I have always wondered how much that impacts guys by the time you get to Sunday morning. Joe Flacco is dealing with a back issue.
Yep.
A flight to London
doesn't sound ideal.
Correct. So there are things. It's easy for us to look at the matchup and say, well, the matchup favors the Ravens. I think there are some intangible things about a trip to London that we're not considering in this process. Most of the Jaguar players have done it before because they go every year.
Yep.
So everybody that was on the team a year ago, at least, if not other guys that have been brought in that have done it, have done this before, have that experience to fall back on. I'm not saying that makes up for the difference. I'm not saying that gives the edge, the Jaguars, I just think those are things that you'll have to consider as the week goes on.
And you have to take into account with the Jaguars, their defense is obviously playing much better, although today they kind of got mollywhopped by Tennessee.
They're going to try to run. They want to run the ball. They want Leonard Fournette to be the story next week. They want to run it at the Ravens. If the Ravens can stop the run, I think that they're going to be, if they have to force Blake Bortles to throw the football, I think we're all high-fiving.
Yes. However, now that you have a situation with Yonda gone, the defense is probably going to want to try to run those A-gaps and have and cause terror.
Yep.
And go after Joe Flacco straight up the gut. So you are concerned about that because it is just a week away and they're playing again out of the country. And so there's different travel arrangements and such. So you're concerned about that. However, luckily for the Ravens, Blake Bortles is on the other side and they should have the defense keep the team in games and allow the offense to make some plays.
No question. No question. All right. You're on Twitter at the NFL Chick.
I am.
And you guys next Sunday are going to come on at 8:30.
Yes, we are.
We're going to do a We're going to do a 1 hour pregame show for the Fantasy and Reality Football show. As there's no reason for y'all to be on 10 to noon because the Ravens will be playing then.
Yeah, so, we want to watch the game too.
Correct. Well, I mean nobody.
And no one. Right. No one would be listening because we'd all be watching the game. KZ is going to London.
So you and Kyle will hold it down.
Kyle and I. Yes.
8:30 to 9:30 next Sunday morning to get everybody ready for Ravens Jaguars, and then we'll do everything else the same way during the course of the day. It'll just be at a little bit of a different time.
Yep.
Than what we're used to. I'm got Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter, glennclarkradio.com, 10 to noon every day this week. Thanks again to ParXL. Thanks again to the U.S. Army. Thanks again to you for watching, listening, sharing, commenting. Please continue. Please continue to share.
Share it.
Please continue to tell your friends what we're doing. It's a little bit, we're just having fun. This is a fun show that we do. We just want to talk about it. We're not, it's just a little bit different. We don't take ourselves too seriously. All of those things. That's what we're up to. Next week, I'm hoping that we'll have like bloodies. That's what I'm going for.
I mean, seriously, it's going to be early. So the game is going to be, there's a bar, I think, like right across the street. I just might come over and just grab my drink.
Yeah, no drinking out of straw. That's Rita.
Wait a minute. I feel judged.
That's Rita.
I'm sick of you.
I'm Glenn. Thank you all for being a part of it. It is PressBox's Project Game Day, brought to you by ParXL and the U.S. Army. We'll talk to you next week.